Sponsored by Black Magic Design, the world's highest quality products for the feature film, post and broadcast industries. BlackMagicDesign.com. And by JMR Rentals, professional, digital, cinema and broadcast equipment rentals in Brooklyn, New York. JMRNY.com.
Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby with some No Rest for the Weekend news. Today on the program, we've got an interview with the team behind NYC Webfest. And later, we'll be giving you a rundown of some upcoming movie releases. But first, we've got our film festival update. So first up in the film festival update, we've got New York Film Festival, now in its 61st year. The festival will run from September 29th to October 15th. The opening night feature will be Todd Haynes' film May December, starring Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore. Portman plays a popular TV star who's researching a role, and to do so, she must study the lives of Moore's character Grace and her much younger husband Joe, played by Charles Melton. Now, as she gets closer to the couple, the uncomfortable facts of their scandalous relationship unfurl. May December will make its North American premiere at the festival on September 29th. The film is also set to be released in theaters on November 17th and will stream on Netflix on December 1st. Bradley Cooper's Maestro, the biopic about the legendary musician Leonard Bernstein, will be featured as part of the festival's Spotlight Gala. This is Cooper's latest directorial effort, the follow-up to A Star is Born, which was nominated for Best Picture. In the film, Cooper plays Bernstein alongside Carey Mulligan, who plays his wife Felicia. The film dramatizes the public and private lives of the legendary musician through his rise to prominence as a conductor and composer. Maestro will have its North American premiere at the festival on October 2nd. The centerpiece selection of the festival will be Sofia Coppola's Priscilla, a biopic about Priscilla Ann Wagner, aka Priscilla Presley. This is the first film that is really from Priscilla's perspective. Kaylee Spenny plays Priscilla as the film follows her story from the early years of being a teenage army brat when she met Elvis in West Germany through her surreal arrival at Graceland. Now, Coppola has expressed her gratitude to the festival, saying, "I am honored to be back at the New York Film Festival with my new film and to be telling Priscilla Presley's story, the unseen side of an American myth." Priscilla will be making its North American premiere at the festival on October 6th and is set to be released in select theaters on November 22nd and will stream on Netflix on December 20th. This year's closing night feature is Michael Mann's Ferrari, also making its North American premiere. Adam Driver plays the legendary race car entrepreneur Enzo Ferrari with Penelope Cruz as his wife Laura. This film also stars Shailene Woodley, Gabriel Leone, Patrick Dempsey, and Jack O'Connell. Ferrari is set to screen on October 13th. The festival will include 32 new films from filmmakers all over the world. The festival's artistic director Dennis Lim had this to say about this year's selection. "The unsettled state of the industry is an unavoidable talking point these days, but my hope is that our festival, as it has done through its 61-year history, will serve as a reminder that the art of cinema is in robust health. The filmmakers in this year's main slate are grappling with eternal questions about how movies relate to the world, about what it means to make art from life, about the most interesting ways to approach the contemporary moment and the historical past. And the answers they've proposed are thrilling in their variety, ingenuity, and urgency. We can't wait for our audience, so vital to the festival experience, to discover these 32 new films." For more information on the New York Film Festival, their website is filmlink.org/NYFF2023. Also in October, over on the West Coast, we've got the Mill Valley Film Festival presented by the California Film Institute. That'll return to Marin County for the 46th edition, running from October 5th to the 15th. Now, this festival takes place all over the Bay Area in several venues, from San Rafael to Mill Valley, to Larkspur, Berkeley, and also San Francisco. The festival offers a variety of films, from narrative and documentary features to experimental films. For more information as the festival approaches, the festival website is mvff.com. All right, so back home here in Brooklyn, running from October 12th to the 19th, is Brooklyn Horror Film Festival, presented by Shudder. The festival will take place in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, with screenings at Nighthawk Cinema and Williamsburg Cinema. Now, according to the festival website, this is what they have to say about themselves: Brooklyn Horror not only provides the nightmare fuel that audiences expect, but prides itself on challenging those expectations, spotlighting films that push the boundaries of what is normally deemed horror. BHFF complements its ambitious features and shorts programming with exciting and unique live events, creating a must-attend festival experience for industry members and film fans alike. For more information, visit BrooklynHorrorFest.com. Also running in Brooklyn from October 24th to the 29th is the Bushwick Film Festival. Now in its 16th year, themed Sweet 16, the festival promises to delve into coming-of-age stories of personal growth, self-discovery, and independence, showcasing how film can beautifully depict these pivotal, life-changing experiences. In addition to film screenings, there will be special events, red carpet opening, a movie industry conference, networking events, screenplay readings, and of course, their awards ceremony. So really looking forward to this one. We've covered it for a while now. We were there in 2019, and we were there last year. So definitely, if you're in Brooklyn, it's one to check out. Looking forward to it. For more information, their festival website is bushwickfilmfestival.com. All right, going back to the West Coast now, the AFI, the American Film Institute, will hold the 37th edition of AFI Fest, taking place exclusively as an in-person event from October 25th to the 29th at the historic TLC Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California. The five-day festival will once again include a curated selection of red carpet galas, special screenings, world cinema, documentaries, and short films. Established in 1967, the American Film Institute is a nonprofit organization with a mandate to champion the moving image as an art form. They have a rich history in film. They have their own school, the AFI Conservatory, which is a graduate-level program that has been around since 1969. People like cinematographer Matthew LaBoutique, who just recently shot Bradley Cooper's Maestro, and the legendary director David Lynch went there. So rich history in California if you're on the West Coast. For more information, their website is AFI.com. In November, NYC WebFest makes a triumphant return back here to New York City. The festival was last held as an in-person event here back in 2019. I recently caught up with the festival's sales director, Samantha Cassessa, and the festival's founder, Lauren Atkins, at their end-of-summer networking event.
So I became aware of the festival last year as a creator and as an actor. My team, which had a web series called Chill Girl, had their world premiere at the festival last year in Miami. They were amazing to us, and we were nominated for a bunch of things, and I ended up coming home with the Best Supporting Actress Award, which was a great honor. And I just got to know Lauren, who runs the festival, and the whole team, and I really wanted to get involved more. I'm a born and raised New Yorker, and so when I heard they were coming back to New York, I was so excited to get involved in terms of bringing them back to New York, welcoming them for their 10th anniversary, and that's where I got involved in the sales team. I think what's so exciting about this year is because it's the 10th anniversary and kind of the reuniting of the festival and New York City, there's going to be a great amount of new content and lots of stuff from this year, but there's also going to be kind of a reflection on how the festival has come up over the last 10 years and all kind of the greatest hits of the last 10 years and what's that looked like for the festival. And in terms of, you know, this timing with right now, I'm an actor primarily in film and TV, and we are on strike for good reason. And it can be easy to forget kind of why we do what we do and what we love about it. And this is a great opportunity to remind ourselves that, you know, we are not always reliant on these big studios to make great work. We have the passion and, you know, the tools to get to make it ourselves and get to showcase it and get to see distributors and all these exciting people who want to see our work. And so it's always a great timing for independent films, but it's really better than ever to kind of celebrate that time. Over the last 10 years, and I'm sure for the next 10, 20, 30 years beyond, in terms of web content is very real content. That is where things are being made from. That is where we are seeing the full scope of talent, of excitement, of all these new things that are coming out. And I think that that's going to feel very true as we continue on in this industry of web content is really the primary source for where all of our creativity is coming from. And I'm so glad we have a lot of access to it.
I'm Lauren Atkins. I'm the founder of NYC Webfest, which was, when we started, New York's first web series festival. And we now screen pilots and short films. And we are at the Chelsea Bell in Manhattan having a networking event for filmmakers as a end of summer blowout as submissions are about to close. So I was involved, produced, and I was also in a web series called My Friends Think I'm Funny. And it was created by Mike King, who is a comedian. And it was just about how the regular public doesn't realize how difficult stand-up comedy is. And they think it's just someone being funny. And they don't realize the art form and the rehearsal that goes through it. And we were looking for a place to showcase this. We tried to pitch it to TV, which we did. And then we changed it into a web series. It became sort of like a funny docu-series. And then we were looking where to showcase this. And LA Webfest was the first of its kind. And I went to LA in 2013, but also went to several web series events in New York as well, around the same time. And I just realized that there was a market for this. There was comedy web content happening in the Lower East Side or in the Village. And then there were like black web series in Harlem. And I just thought there needs to be something that brings the community together. And so I brought that in 2014. After the first year in 2014, the festival really exploded. From 2015 to 2019, we had creators fly in from around the world, many different countries around the world, in Europe, in South America, in Canada. There is funding for digital projects. We just had this amazing turnout of people over the years. Then the pandemic came along. I had just been back home in South Africa, where I was born, and had been on the radio and had spoken to people about doing a festival down there. And of course, in March, everything changed. And we had the gift of time because our festival wasn't due to happen until November of 2020. And so we just sat back, postponed the submission period, and then we went virtual, which is probably the best thing I've ever done, just because it was so hard. And I learned so much. We had virtual networking, and we still managed to have virtual panels with filmmakers from around the world. We respected their time zones. And then in 2021, we decided to go virtual again. And 2022, for our ninth annual, I partnered with a venue, a wonderful venue behind the Sandbar in North Beach in Miami. And now we are at our 10th anniversary and we are back home in New York. So for 2023, our 10th anniversary, we are looking at showcasing, obviously, new talent. We've always specialized on that. And also bringing back some former creators and showcasing official selections and talent, especially in New York in particular. What's interesting is that with the now writers and actors strike, you know, we kind of paused for a second and we were wondering where does this festival, you know, how do we land during this climate? And where we've been fortunate is that the majority of the projects we screen, particularly in America, are independent. And still several, more than one this year, independent streaming services have reached out to me. So I know that there is still an appetite for this medium. For November, we hope to have several streaming services and options for the independent creator and for web series creators to showcase their work.
For more information, the festival website is nycwebfest.com, and you can follow them on social media at nycwebfest. All right, next up, we've got some upcoming movie releases. Now, please keep in mind, we're going to give you some dates, but please keep in mind, these are all subject to change. Some movies have already shifted, been pushed back, mostly due to the strikes, but we're going to give us a go to give you an update. So first up, we've got Saw 10, set to hit theaters on September 29th, starring Tobin Bell. Now, according to IMDb, John Kramer, a.k.a. Jigsaw, is chasing a promising procedure that will allegedly cure his cancer. But when he heads to Mexico to go through an experimental treatment, he discovers it's all a scam. Now the scammers will become the prey of Jigsaw's new game. All right, I am not a Saw fan. I think I saw part of the first one when it came out years ago. Is this still a vital... I know that I think Chris Rock rebooted it at one point. Is this still a vital horror series? Are people dying to see this one? And, you know, we've been doing a lot of horror stuff. Brooklyn Horror Film Festival has sent us to a couple of different early screenings, which we thank them for. They've been great. I don't know if we'll get a ticket to this one. I don't know if I'm going to go. Torture porn is really not my thing. Also on September 29th, The Creator, starring John David Washington and Allison Janney. The sci-fi thriller is the story of the future war between the human race and artificial intelligence. An ex-Special Forces agent is recruited to hunt down and kill the creator of the elusive architect of the advanced AI. So Bill Hammond did a worst trailer in the world video on this over on his YouTube channel. I didn't think the trailer was all that bad. It does seem a little bit cliche about, you know, man fighting artificial intelligence. It's a little Skynet. It's a little Terminator. John David Washington is great, though, and I love Allison Janney. Those are both two really high-level, high-class actors. I think we're going to see more of this stuff where people are fighting artificial intelligence. We said this about the Mission Impossible, last Mission Impossible, about fighting AI. It's like definitely written by a WGA writer. You know, for this one, it's September 29th. Yeah, if you're, you know, if you're sci-fi nut, it looks really good. It's a really good-looking film. I'm sure the effects and things like that are great. We'll see what the creator has to offer. All right, next we've got Killers of the Flower Moon, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Jesse Plemons. Finally, we've got a release date. So we first reported on this film when it premiered at Cannes earlier this year. It's the story of a series of mysterious murders of members of the Osage tribe in the 1920s, which sparks a major FBI investigation involving J. Edgar Hoover. It was originally slated for theatrical release on October 6th, but according to Variety, the film has been rescheduled and will be released worldwide on October 20th. It is also set to stream later this year on Apple TV, but we don't have a date for that yet. Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, they've been a great pairing. Robert De Niro's also in this film. It looks really good. Probably one of those films coming out at the end of the year looking for Oscar contention. Next up, we've got The Exorcist Believer, starring Ellen Burstyn and Leslie Odom Jr. It is set for release on October 30th. It's a sequel to the original 1973 film. In the film, two young girls go missing, only to return days later behaving strangely. Lo and behold, they suspect demonic possession. After consulting doctors and the church, the father of one of the girls seeks out Chris McNeil, played by the great Ellen Burstyn, who is reprising her role from the original film. McNeil's daughter, Reagan, was possessed by a demon and exorcised by a young priest and an old priest. You know the story. When McNeil meets the girls, she suspects that they are possessed by the same demon that possessed her daughter. I love Ellen Burstyn. I think she's one of the greatest actors to live in the modern era. And Leslie Odom Jr. is fantastic as well. So, you know, they made a point of doing some high-level, like, Oscar-worthy casting for this film. I don't know if it's going to be as good as the original Exorcist, but that was, like, a classic. It was pivotal. It changed the genre. You know, now it's almost a cliche, but it did look interesting. I was interested to see how they were going to pick up the story so many years later. I mean, you're talking about, this is over, like, it's like a 50-year-old movie at this point. And we also don't have Linda Blair. We don't have Reagan. So I don't know what they're going to do with this one. It looks interesting. Don't know if I'll run out to the theater to see it, but definitely curious. So as I said at the top of the segment, these dates are all subject to change. Some of these films have already been pushed back, I think mainly due to the strikes from the WGA and SAG-AFTRA unions. Or, you know, there's always other reasons. Films are pushed back all the time. One film that was pushed back is called Damsel. It was slated for release later this year on Netflix, but now it's been pushed back to 2024. Damsel is the story of a dutiful damsel who agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find that the royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt. Thrown into a cave with a fire-breathing dragon, she must rely on her wits and will to survive. What's happening now is we've got these studios, and they're realizing they really need these movie stars to sell these movies. If they want anybody to see these things, if they want awards, if they want just visibility, they're going to need stars to walk out on red carpets and do junket interviews and all that stuff that stars do in addition to acting in the films. So, you know, they're going to need Millie Bobby Brown to come out to a red carpet and do junket interviews to get this movie seen. Another film that has been pushed back is Dune Part 2, starring Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. It was originally set to release in November, but has been pushed back now to March 25th next year. I enjoyed the first part of Dune, and we reviewed it on the show. Part 1 was released during the pandemic, and I suspect that, you know, most people watched it on what was then called HBO Max. I think it would be great if Warner Brothers / Discovery, a.k.a. Disco Brothers, re-release the first part in theaters when they release part two. This way, people who didn't get to see it in a theater, like me, I watched it at home, would get to see it on a big screen. I think it's worth it. Denis Villeneuve really knows how to make a movie. We really like the first part, so I'm anxious to see the second. Now, Netflix is also set to release Pain Hustlers, starring Emily Blunt and Chris Evans on October 27th. But if Blunt and Evans aren't able to do their marketing obligations due to the strikes, that could get pushed back as well. I also think films like The Marvels, which is scheduled to come out on November 10th, may get pushed back. And The Hunger Games prequel, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, as well as even smaller films like Next Goal Wins, which is slated for release in November as well, they all may suffer the same fate. All right, we're going to do our best to keep you updated on these movie releases, and we've got lots more film festival coverage coming your way. That's all we got for you today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. And now you can find us on Instagram at norestfortheweekend. I'd like to thank my guests, Lauren Atkins and Samantha Cassessa, and our sponsors, Black Magic Design and JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.